To protect us from deadly pathogens, the Food and Drug Administration will now allow for the bombardment of fresh spinach and iceberg lettuce with gamma radiation. Now, you and I can eat leafy greens grown thousands of miles away without fear. This is great news, right? But wait, not everyone is happy with this move to irradiate our food. And so today we pause to ask, what's wrong with gamma good food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 603rd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way up there in Findhorn who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Producer Carol Stafford.
Hello there.
Parmley Taff.
Hello.
Folks, boy golly, the problem is fecal matter and the deadly pathogens contained therein that find their way into our food chain. We all know how bad it has been, with thousands sickened and some killed around the country from eating fresh foods like leafy greens. The solution is simple. Bombard the foods with enough gamma radiation to kill all the pathogens. Everyone wins, except, of course, the pathogens, and who cares about them? But think about it. Farmers will no longer have to worry about critters crossing their fields. Processors will not have to worry about mixing contaminated produce with clean produce. Wholesalers will not have to worry about selling contaminated produce to retailers. And retailers will not have to worry about sickened customers banging on their doors in the middle of the night. But wait, there's more. You see, the irradiated fresh foods will have a much greater shelf life, which means spoilage will be reduced, and everyone up and down the food chain will make more money. But the best thing of all, of course, is that you and I will be able to eat fresh foods grown thousands of miles away without fear. Just think of it. Fresh spinach from China is on the way. How could anyone object to gamma good food? How could anyone worry about irradiation? What could possibly be wrong with irradiation? That is the subject of today's Food Chain Show. And here to help us shop for an answer, we have Tony Corbo, Senior Lobbyist for Food and Water Watch. Tony, welcome to the Food Chain.
Well, good morning.
Good. Good to have you aboard. Food and Water Watch, what is that?
Well, we're a consumer advocacy organization. We were founded in November of 2005. We spun off from Ralph Nader's Public Citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who worked on food policy and water infrastructure issues formed our own organization almost 3 years ago now.
Good. And you've been a long-time opponent of food irradiation. I see your name popping up throughout the last, decade or so?
Oh, yeah, just about 8 years. And that's, that's when I came to work for Public Citizen.
Uh-huh.
That was the first project that I was working on.
Okay, good. We always ask who pays the way for the Food and Water Watch.
Well, the Food and Water Watch is building a member base, but we do get money from private foundations that are interested in promoting sustainable agriculture and in investing in our public water infrastructure.
Okay, good. Also with us today, Sarah Klein, who's the staff attorney for the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Sarah, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you aboard. You're in Washington, D.C. as well?
Yes.
Good. So what's the weather like there today?
Quite rainy, huh?
Okay, good. Food, you're with the Center for the Science of Public Interest, and you can tell us a little bit about your organization?
CSPI is a nonprofit organization. We're a consumer advocacy group as well, and we focus predominantly on food safety, nutrition, and alcohol policy issues.
Okay, good. And who pays your way?
Well, we've got a membership base of almost 1 million people. These are mostly people who are interested in our issues in food safety and nutrition and subscribe to a newsletter that we publish called Nutrition Action.
Okay, good. And folks not with us today Our representatives from the Food Marketing Institute, the United Fresh Produce Association, the Grocery Manufacturers Association, or the Food and Drug Administration. It seems to me like each one of these organizations pretty much has what they want with respect to the Food and Drug Administration's decision to allow for the irradiation of fresh greens. So why talk? Because they have already walked the walk, I guess is might be a way of putting it. They have what they want, and so there's no need to talk anymore, and they're off to the races. Folks, I've been following the struggle to irradiate food for as long as I've been doing this radio show, which is 603 weeks. And I would gladly buy into the proposition of irradiation, except for one thing. Yes, there's one thing about irradiation that scares me silly, and I'd like to know if you can guess what that one thing is. Phone numbers today for your participation, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. What is it about irradiation that scares Michael Olson silly? Let's go to our lobbyists, our warriors against irradiation, and talk a little bit about irradiation. It's all about deadly pathogens in the food chain, right, Tony?
Well, besides that, it's also, you know, as you indicated in your intro, that that it's also designed to extend the shelf life of, mm-hmm. of food. And, you know, we've always been concerned that this was another technology in creating an industrialized agriculture system in this country. And we started to focus on the FDA decisions back in the 80s concerning the safety of this technology. And what was ironic to us, that some of the same studies that that their own scientists rejected in the 70s as providing a basis for the for claiming that the technology was safe, they, those studies in the 70s that they evaluated, they rejected. But then all of a sudden it was a reversal in the 80s, and these studies have served as the foundation for all subsequent FDA approvals of,
you know,
of irradiation.
It's interesting to note in researching this, my wife Marlene was looking through the research, and she noted that there hasn't been much recent research on the efficacy of irradiating food. It seems like all of the research is coming out of the last century, if you will.
Well, yeah. The thing is that as far as the basic underpinnings of FDA's decision to approve irradiated foods, yeah, it goes back to the studies, you know, that go back to the 50s, mm-hmm. 40s. A lot of the research came out of the military, but there are additional pieces of research and in approving the irradiation of iceberg lettuce and spinach. They're basing their decision on some industry research that's been done.
Okay, good. Sarah, let's go to you. The objective here is to protect the consumer, one, and to extend the shelf life, two, but from what?
Well, I think one of our biggest concerns, one of the things that came to me as you were doing your introduction was the painting of such a perfect picture of what irradiation can do for consumers. That's something that CSPI is very concerned about, is this notion that irradiation is going to be a silver bullet that's going to protect us all from foodborne illness, that's going to eradicate E. coli, that's going to take care of salmonella, and that's going to kind of just make everything pristine and pure. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. Irradiation is not effective on viruses. It's effective on bacteria. And
would you tell us how this works for people who aren't familiar with irradiation? They might think, you know, somebody's out there dropping nuclear bombs on lettuce or something like that. What is going on here?
Well, without being a scientist myself, and so I'm kind of, you know,
oh, but you have a pretty good idea
when it comes to the technology. But we're talking about very low levels of irradiation that has not been shown to have any dangers, but it also hasn't been shown to be that effective in terms of making
what we're doing essentially is kind of like a dental x-ray. in that we're going to be exposing fresh spinach and lettuce to gamma rays, gamma radiation, to the extent that the gamma radiation will kill the pathogens inside or on the surface of the lettuce or the fresh leafy greens. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, once the products have been exposed to the radiation, there will be no more radiation left in those products, correct?
Presumably.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's kind of the basic format of what's going on here. And today we're trying to figure out what could possibly be wrong with this scenario. After all, it will save you and I from eating those deadly pathogens and getting sick. And we're going to find out if there is indeed something wrong. Something troubles me, but we haven't got to that yet. We're talking with Tony Corbo, Senior Lobbyist, Food and Water Watch, Sarah Klein, Staff Attorney, Center for Science in the Public Interest, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. What's wrong with irradiation?
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, what could possibly be better than safe food? And that's the objective, or one of them at least, for irradiating food with gamma radiation, killing all those harmful microbuggies in there so that we can eat food that is safe. Do you think it is safe food? Some people aren't so sure. Among them, Tony Corbo, Senior Lobbyist for the Food and Water Watch, Sarah Klein, Staff Attorney, Center for Science in the Public Interest. The Food and Drug Administration recently made a ruling that said it's okay to irradiate fresh spinach and iceberg lettuce with gamma radiation. Tony, why iceberg lettuce and spinach? Why these two products?
Well, I think it's interesting that the industry that filed a petition with FDA in 2000.
And the industry, incidentally,
at the time it was the National Food Processors Association, which has evolved into the Grocery Manufacturers Association.
Okay, these are the people that didn't want to talk to us today.
Yeah, that's correct. But they filed a petition in 2000 with the FDA to permit the irradiation of all so-called ready-to-eat products, and that covered the whole gamut of hot dogs, deli meats, bagged fresh fruits and vegetables.
Anything that does not have to be cooked.
Right. Well, that's correct. And so they filed a petition in 2000. When we were working a public citizen, we started to file objections to the petition with our own research that showed that you know certain foods when they are irradiated form what we consider to be dangerous chemical byproducts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when the spinach outbreak occurred in 2006, the industry apparently approached the FDA about, you know, the status of their petition, their ready-to-eat mm-hmm. petition, because the FDA had already had this petition for over 6 years. And apparently what happened was the FDA advised the grocery manufacturers to separate out iceberg lettuce and spinach from their petition, and then FDA would evaluate, you know, the safety concerns of those two products.
Sarah, what kind of evaluation did the FDA do?
Well, they've done, as we said earlier, they've done some research, but not convincing that they've done enough research. They've relied on several studies that are industry-based. And, you know, so it's questionable whether what we're seeing is the beginning of a kind of slippery slope where all things are going to be able to be irradiated, which is what they wanted initially, as mm-hmm. Tony said.
And which is where this is going, right? We're going to start with spinach and iceberg lettuce, and then we're going to move on to other things.
It certainly seems that way.
Why did you start to fight this move toward irradiation? What is it about irradiation that led you to believe that you needed to fight it?
Well, our big concern is that irradiation is often viewed as kind of a silver bullet at the end of the line, where regardless of what's happened on the farm or in the processing plant up until that point, as long as you irradiate at the end, things are going to be safe. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. And we really want to see that things are being done right, that food safety is being made the number one priority from the very beginning with preventive controls, so that whether or not a product is irradiated at the end, it is safe for consumers.
Sarah, do you believe that an industrial-scale agriculture can operate without irradiation?
I think that irradiation can be just one of many steps that are taken to ensure that products are safe, mm-hmm. but it should certainly not be seen as the only step that needs to be taken.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that in agriculture, somebody wants to grow lettuce in China and send it over here. Do you think that they can do that without irradiation? Do you think that they can be clean enough, or do you think it's possible to do that kind of agriculture where you grow things on one side of the world and ship them to the other? Do you think it's possible to do that without radiating food?
Well, we'd certainly need a lot better system of controlling our imports, and making sure that other countries' systems are as robust as we would like them to be before we could say, you know, that these products are absolutely safe. But mm-hmm. I don't think that we can say that irradiation makes them absolutely safe either.
Tony, I read where someone said that 90% of the seafood coming in from Asia is probably contaminated with pathogens, and that most of that seafood is now being irradiated under the table, as it were, or surreptitiously. Any comments on that?
Well, we know that we're importing about 80% of our seafood in this country, and it would not surprise me that some of the seafood is being irradiated, you know, surreptitiously. But it really goes back,
which would be in against the law, correct?
Correct. And so the thing is that you know, we have our organization is very concerned about you know, not only the safety of our domestic food supply, but all of these imports, you know, coming in. You know, you raise the issue of China. Our organization has fought an attempt by USDA to permit China to export processed poultry to the United States, because really, when you look at the findings of their own inspectors at USDA when they went to take a look at food processing facilities in China, they were filthy, and we could not understand why USDA, at least the upper echelons of USDA, thought that American consumers should be exposed to unsafe poultry products from China. And so, you know, what you're raising here about other products coming in from these other places where you know, we here in this country are producing the same food products, why are we, you know, exposing our consumers to pathogens, illegal antibiotics, illegal pesticides, mm-hmm. From these imported products?
Let me ask you, Tony, the same question I asked Sarah. Do you believe it's possible to have that kind of industrial agriculture where we can grow food on one side of the universe and ship it to the other, as it were, without irradiation? Do you think it's...
I think it can be done. I think it can be done. We have never, you know, thought irradiation was the solution to food safety, you know, mm-hmm. problems. But again, you know, the food supply is being made, you know, globalized by the fact that we have all these multinational corporations that are shifting their production all over the world, and to us, it seems that they are relying on a technology such as irradiation, you know, number one, to deal with any food safety issues in the countries that they're producing the food, and number two, to extend the shelf life of the product. But you know, we would be totally opposed to the use of irradiation for import purposes. Mm-hmm.
And with respect to extending the shelf life, that would be a significant improvement in the bottom line for almost everybody, correct? The
absolutely
food doesn't spoil; it sits there for a long time, and so you reduce your costs significantly, make a lot more money.
Correct.
Okay. When we get back, we're going to have to take a quick break here in just a moment, but when we come back, I'd like to ask each one of you, what is wrong with irradiation? And I'd like to be specific. I have a list of some things that I found, among them the destruction of vitamins, the formation of lipid oxides, the radiolytic products, and what happens when you irradiate packaging material. But that still doesn't address Michael Olson's basic fear of irradiation. And if anybody out there can guess what Michael Olson's basic fear is, I'd love to hear it. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, irradiation. What could possibly be wrong with something that could protect us from all of those deadly pathogen? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Tony Corbo, Senior Lobbyist, Food and Water Watch, Sarah Klein, Staff Attorney, Center for Science in the Public Interest, and you. Pick up your phones and join us today. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, right back. Well, folks, what could possibly be wrong with irradiating food to protect ourselves from the deadly pathogens that may or may not be contained in that food? Let's ask. Let's ask Tony Corbo, who's a senior lobbyist, Food and Water Watch, and Sarah Klein, staff attorney, Center for Science in the Public Interest. Tony, let's start with you. What could possibly be wrong with irradiation?
Well, the procedure itself, at least the research that you know we've conducted, indicates that when certain foods are irradiated, if they contain certain amounts of fat, for example, mm-hmm. They form the irradiation procedure causes new chemical compounds to be formed.
Kind of like partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, right?
And so the thing is that what you wind up getting are a class of chemicals that don't normally exist naturally in the environment. In Europe, they've done some research, and they're called cyclobutanone. And what they found was when they injected laboratory animals with the cyclobutanones, that the formation of cancerous tumors occurred at a lot quicker rate. And so that's a concern.
Okay.
The FDA itself has decided to look at another class of chemicals called furan that are formed when certain foods are irradiated, because furan is a known carcinogen, and so they have been looking at the furan formation in all sorts of foods that have been irradiated. As a matter of fact, we recently received a response to a Freedom of Information Act request on all of the research that they are that they've conducted on furan, and one of our staff is pouring through all of those studies.
So is there any difference between this and microwaving food?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's the microwaving food is at the other end of the spectrum in terms of radiation, and you know this is what's called ionizing radiation, where it does in fact cause you know a chemical change in the food. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that I know that there have been some in the industry, especially those who've been proponents of you know, you've mentioned gamma radiation, but there's a version called electronic beam irradiation.
Right.
They've tried to make that the equivalent to microwaving, but it's really a completely different process.
Okay. Well, Sarah, what do you think? What can possibly be wrong with irradiation other than the fact that it creates weird, unknown chemicals that your body does not know how to deal with?
Well, I think that's certainly a big problem.
Okay.
And Tony described it well. But I think the other problem is that it gives people a false sense of security, that it really, it creates a sense that food safety preventive controls are less important because there's something that will zap everything at the end. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that we really worry about. We'd rather see a greater emphasis on preventive controls at the beginning of the process and with proper oversight all the way through than just hoping that things will be zapped out of existence at the end.
You know, one thing I just want to add to what, you know, Sarah just said is that, you know, we're getting this, all of the consumer groups seem to get seem to be frustrated with the fact that the FDA really does not want to regulate food safety. Sarah's organization, for example, was in the forefront of pointing out that there were a lot more foodborne illness outbreaks that came from fresh produce, and all the consumer groups have been trying to work with the FDA and also with the folks on Capitol Hill to give the FDA the authority to issue regulations or to force the FDA to issue regulations. You know, Center for Science of Public Interest has a pending petition over at the FDA to force them to issue food safety regulations.
Doesn't the FDA want to regulate food safety?
Because from my perception is that they don't want the responsibility. It's like they're running away setting up a food safety regulatory system where they're going to have to hire inspectors to go to farms, go to processing facilities to make sure that the food is safe, is being safely produced.
So that would be like setting up an entire bureaucracy with an army of inspectors that would be looking into every nook and cranny of the food chain, as it were, to make sure that everything is okay.
That's already FDA's responsibility. It's
mm-hmm.
just that
yeah.
they're shirking it, and they're what they'd like to see happen is for somebody to give them an easy out.
So the way we work it now is that if the retailer sells us something that makes us sick, we bang on their door in the middle of the night and say, "Hey, you made us sick," something like that. That's kind of what we're relying on now, right?
Well, yes. I mean, we've seen, for example, in the last since 2006, since the spinach outbreak, one of the things we saw was this huge financial hit to the spinach industry, but we didn't see, except from consumer groups who kind of work on this issue all the time, the sense of outrage at FDA, you know, that they seem to avoid ever being really blamed by the general public, and
mm-hmm.
instead the industry gets blamed. And, of course, you know, industry has a role to play in ensuring that their products are safe. But FDA also has a great role to play in ensuring that industry maintains standards,
mm-hmm.
and they're not doing it.
So we have essentially two reasons why we think irradiation is bad. One of them is that it changes the nature of food and creates foods that aren't really foods anymore, and the body does not know what to do with them. And the other thing is that it gives us a false sense of security in that everything is going to be okay. Is there anything else wrong with food irradiation?
Well, I think it's going to be used as a crutch and an excuse for the food processor to have clean operations, hygienic operations to begin with. And it's going to give the FDA the excuse. You know, one of the things that they keep on talking about is that, you know, they would like to have a risk-based inspection system, which, to me, what that translates to is that they're not going to have enough, they don't want to have enough inspectors to do the job. So if a company decides to irradiate, they're not going to send an inspector there to check out to see if they're complying with basic food safety standards.
Okay, well, you know, when it gets right down to it, I think I could live with those objections that you raise simply to have food on the table, but there is something that really gets me personally about irradiation that I just can't quite stomach. And when we get back from this break, I'll lay my case on the table against food irradiation. It's purely mine, nothing scientific about it, but maybe you can give it a listen. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Today we're talking about irradiating our food to make it safe. Does it make it safe? It appears that it kills a good percentage of the pathogens that make us sick, so maybe there is something to be said for it. We're talking with Tony Corbo, senior lobbyist for the Food and Water Watch, also Sarah Klein, staff attorney for Center for the Science in Public Interest, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, right back with Michael Olson's Fear. Well, what could be wrong with irradiation? This is Michael Olson's Fear of Irradiation. Perhaps you out there can allay my fears. I believe when it comes to food, cleanliness is indeed next to godliness. And it is hard to be clean and next to God when you're very, very big and have so few people growing food and processing it and whatnot. You're using machines, you're spread out over great vast areas of land and whatnot, and so somehow what is happening to our food chain is that pathogens are sneaking in and infecting our fresh foods. The sole purpose of irradiation is to kill those deadly pathogens and thus protect us. These pathogens are found in fecal matter that has somehow managed to find its way into our food chain. And so irradiation kills those pathogens, thus making fecal matter safe to eat. If fecal matter becomes safe to eat, what incentive will there be to keep it out of the food chain? This is Michael Olson's fear. Someday in the near future, I will open a bag of leafy greens and a great big elephant turd will fall out of the bag. That turd might be safe to eat, but I do not want to eat it, nor do I want to pay for it. Will somebody please allay my fear? Tony?
No, I think you're right. I've actually used the term in meetings at FDA on this issue that...
Well, how do they react?
People don't want to eat poop, whether it's sterilized or not. And I think you hit the nail on the head, and the fact that there's this movement to concentration in agriculture and the fact that the food is being produced more in an industrialized fashion is leading to these pathogen issues cropping up more and more, and I think you're absolutely right the EPA has fallen down in the job in terms of making sure that the water supplies are clean. So if they're co-locating these big animal feeding operations, these big factory farms with dairy cows that are near streams that the farmer down the road is using that same water supply to irrigate his or her vegetable farm. I mean, you're absolutely right.
What is the government saying when you tell them people do not want to eat sterilized fecal matter?
Well, I mean, they chuckle. I mean, they chuckle. I actually said that I made this statement at a public meeting last year that the FDA held on the safety of produce, and they chuckle. They chuckle at
it's kind of he, but
yeah, right. But the thing is that they're still going ahead and being very compliant with an industry that is setting up an industrialized agriculture system here that is permitting these pathogens to get into our food to begin with.
Well, Sarah, if if fecal matter becomes safe to eat, who's going to keep it out of the food chain? Who will have the incentive? I mean, I just think about a big meat packing plant where, you know, things get all over the floor. You're making hamburger. Well, what the heck, you know, just it's safe to eat. Shovel it into the meat grinder with everything else. And what incentive will there be to keep that stuff out of the food chain?
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right that there is no incentive, particularly when you start looking at the bottom line and you start thinking about how much more time it would take to keep from contaminating products with fecal matter. You know, how much more time and effort and resources it takes to hire enough staff to make sure that somebody's sweeping up the floor while somebody else is working the line. If the alternative is that you can just throw it all in there and know that it's going to be zapped at the end, well, financially, that's the better system for the big agribusiness. And so, I think that's something that is really alarming to think about what we could be eating in a few years.
Well, I deeply regret the fact that industry would not show up today, because I wanted to ask them that question myself, but I guess they probably smelled it coming and ran for the hills, as it were. But that is my fear. That's Michael Olson's fear. I'm afraid that if fecal matter becomes safe to eat, there will be no incentive to keep fecal matter out of the food chain, and we will end up eating it and paying for it. And that, I guess that's my notion. Let's go to the phones. Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-4719-80. Rick, welcome to the food chain.
Welcome. Yes, I had just a quick question. Why is the consumer relieved of his responsibility to wash his food before he eats it? If you get a head of romaine lettuce, the logical thing to do is to, when you prepare your salad, to rinse it thoroughly before you
amen
eat
to that.
It. What's the difference between the proposition that we should have a 18 million inspectors on every farm in the country to make sure that there's no manure in a head of romaine lettuce?
And could they guarantee that? I don't even think they could guarantee that. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick up Rick and Tony and Sarah and you. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're talking about irradiating our food to make it safe to eat. Will it make it safe to eat? And will you enjoy eating food that has been made safe to eat through irradiation? That's my problem. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, Rich says that we consumers should be responsible for food safety, for washing our lettuce, as it were, rather than relying on an army of 10 million bureaucrats to ensure our safety. Tony, what do you think about Rich's comment?
Well, the consumers do have a food safety responsibility as well. But the thing is that before the consumer gets the product, that there should be basic food safety standards that are being adhered to. And I don't think you're going to need 10 million or 18 million, inspectors to ensure that food safety standards are being adhered to during the food processing the food processing before the product goes into commerce. Sure, consumers do have a responsibility to clean, to make sure that there's no cross contamination in the preparation of the food, but also the industry has a responsibility to make sure that product is clean and is being produced under the proper procedures before it goes into commerce.
Sarah, how would you respond to Rich?
Well, I would respond exactly the same way, and I would also add that unfortunately for some products, once a pathogen gets inside the product, inside a pepper, it's very difficult. It's not just a matter of somebody rinsing the outside. And so although consumers do have a responsibility and a role to play in protecting themselves from foodborne illness, you know, oftentimes it's not enough to wash things off in your sink at home.
Do you see us going from allowing irradiation to requiring irradiation?
Well, it's possible. It's a possibility that there may be a mandate. But something that is even more troubling is the fact that right now irradiated foods have to be labeled as such. They have mm-hmm. to carry what's called a radura. It looks like a little lotus flower, and with the statement that the food has been treated with irradiation. FDA is currently considering a proposed regulation that would eliminate irradiated foods from being labeled as such.
Wow!
And so you
wouldn't even know.
So you wouldn't even know. And so that is something that is very problematic. The USDA, as a matter of fact, is considering the irradiation of carcasses in slaughter facilities, and the industry is calling it a processing aid. And in FDA jargon, that means it does not have to be labeled.
So it's true. They're just going to make fecal matter safe to eat.
Absolutely. And I think you know, what you were saying earlier kind of hits the nail on the head. They don't have to mandate it. If they go to the route of not requiring labeling, who would know? And they've accomplished the goal of essentially mandating irradiation.
Wow. Let's go quickly to Ben. Ben, welcome to the food chain.
Good afternoon.
Fire away.
Hello. I've been against food irradiation and genetically engineered food forever for this reason. Meat is meat is meat. Human meat is not that different from beef or pork. When you irradiate, you know, when you go to the dentist or a medical procedure and you get hit with irradiation for medical reasons, all the barriers and the walls and the masks and the lead to protect the gonads and all stuff. So they're doing this to the animals we're eating. And then how does the intelligent American person not think that once you have eaten meat or genetically engineered food or vegetable products that are irradiated, when that passes your system, could the intelligent person not think that the residual radiation doesn't stay in there in your glyph glands?
Okay, we're out of time, Ben, but thanks for firing away. Gosh, Tony and Sarah, thank you for joining us. Folks, is foods irradiated safe to eat? Go to the forum at metrofarm.com. Leave us your answer. Sorry we didn't get to all you on the phone today, but that's the way of it. This has been The Food Chain. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.